Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing thing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so
most
smart
of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal. When everyone says the same thing together at the same time, it actually makes all of those people feel more like a unit. And that cohesion is also important.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy. And this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, protest and change.
The reason that you protest is because you are trying to get the attention and to create change from people who are in a position of power. The people who are in position of power don't have to protest because they have the floor already. And so you could ask, why was it such an affecting sight to see police or public officials kneel with the crowds that had come to protest? And the answer to that is this: the group of people that assembled is a group of people who, as individuals, do not have power. They are individuals who are protesting precisely because the system has worked against them as a result of their not having power. And for individuals in a position of authority to step out and engage in an act of solidarity with the group that has assembled, it is an initial statement that you've been heard and that those in power are ready to engage. Now, it's just a symbolic gesture because it doesn't solve anything. In the end, those individuals who are in a position of power need to use that power to create change. But it is an initial statement that you've been heard. And in many situations of protest, there's no sense that the protesters have been heard. When tear gas is fired into a group of protesters, that is not a sign that those protesters have been heard. It's a sign they've been noticed, but it isn't a sign that they've been heard. And in fact, the attempt is to disperse them, to make them go away. So it is when someone steps out and says, I hear you, I understand you, and I'm willing to work with you by meeting you on your terms, that you get these very powerful moments.
Yeah, and I think, not to overanalyze this, but I think the fact that the world has been facing COVID as it has, which is not it doesn't really single out one group over another, even though the different groups are disparately affected by this. Everybody is affected by it in some way. I mean, not just within the United States, but throughout the world. I mean, that is an unavoidable reminder that there are a lot of commonalities among people. And you feel a sense that, you see other people who are suffering in ways that people in your own community are suffering. And I think COVID has brought some of those things to life. It may, although this is pure speculation on my part, it may in fact create a greater feeling of, look, I'm part of a larger community. And if there are things that are adversely affecting people in a larger community, I should do something about it. There are all kinds of people at those protests, some of whom are people of privilege and really on a day-to-day basis don't notice the kind of adversities that many of the people, particularly African-American community, have to deal with day-to-day. So I think what makes people feel good is feeling like we're a part of something that's at least potentially important. And when you're out among a group of people and there's this like-mindedness about what we're here for and what we're doing here and what we care about, that's a very positive feeling. And in a time when many people have been, locked in our homes and not really interacting with the kind of people or as many people as we typically interact with, that's a good feeling. I mean, the dangers of contagion notwithstanding.
This also highlights a potential problem with protest in general, which is protest itself, a successful protest, can feel good. You've engaged with a group of people, you have made a point, and to the extent that people in authority have stepped forward and said that they hear you and made gestures that they understand the issues that you've raised, that can feel good. But that is the beginning of a process and not the end. And where many protest movements fall down is in the follow through, which is less dramatic and less enjoyable. It is a much more elaborate statement to get a large group of people to protest in public. It is a lot harder to sustain that level of energy to drive people to the polling stations on election day to make sure that they vote, to support candidates who support the issues that you think are important, to go door to door talking with people about the importance of their vote. Those are things that are hard to do. They're not always that much fun to do, but at the end of the day are often some of the most effective things to do within the system that we have. The reason that that's important is because, let's go back to what we were saying at the beginning. The reason you end up taking to the streets to protest is because the system was broken. The system was not listening. The people in power were not addressing the issues you thought were important. And ultimately, that led you to go into the streets to bring that message outside of the system. The paradox is that your options after that are either to try to overthrow the system entirely, or to then go back and work within the system to create change. And at this point in the United States, there is still an opportunity to go back within the system and make change, but it requires shifting mindset to say, we galvanized a group of people, we energized people, and we made people pay attention through a protest movement. And now we're going to end up going back inside the system and doing the very hard work that's required to make sure that those people who are representing everyone in government in the future actually hold the views that are consistent with the people who were doing the protest. That's a much harder thing to do, and it's one of the reasons why we've had many large marches on similar issues over the past 75 years, and yet we're continuing to have those marches because we have not created systemic change. And that's going to require a tremendous concerted effort on the part of everyone to work together.
Next week, we'll talk about the psychology of perspective with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head for KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.